Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Job Work and Its Future in a Time of Radical Change is a 2018 nonfiction book by journalist Ellen Ruppel Shell that examines how work in the United States has changed under pressure from globalization, automation, inequality, and shifting cultural expectations. Rather than treating employment only as an economic arrangement, Shell argues that work shapes identity, purpose, social belonging, and political life, drawing on reporting from workplaces, manufacturing sites, service jobs, and alternative labor models. She connects personal experiences of job loss and insecurity to broader structural changes in the labor market. The book also critiques common assumptions about merit, passion, education, and the idea that more schooling alone can solve employment problems. Its purpose is both diagnostic and forward-looking. It explains why many workers feel disconnected from the rewards of work and explores possibilities for better forms of work in a curious digital and global economy. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, work is a source of identity, not just income. Shell's central argument is that work matters because it helps people build a sense of self, status, and place in society. The book repeatedly challenges the narrow view that a job is only a paycheck. Instead, it treats work as one of the main ways people organize their lives, earn recognition, and imagine their future. That is why changes in employment carry such a heavy emotional cost. When stable jobs disappear or become harder to obtain, the loss is not only financial. It can also weaken confidence, belonging, and social purpose. Shell uses this framework to show why anxiety about jobs is so widespread. She suggests that the modern labor market has made work feel more conditional and fragile, which intensifies the pressure on workers to define their worth through employment. This makes the book especially relevant to readers trying to understand why job insecurity affects people so deeply, even when they are still technically employed. Secondly, the widening gap between productivity and wages. A major economic thread in the book is the long-term disconnect between rising productivity and stagnant wages. Shell uses this gap to show that labor market outcomes are not simply the result of individual effort or talent, even as workers have become more productive. The gains have not been shared evenly, and that uneven distribution helps explain why many middle-class jobs feel less secure than before. The result is a labor market in which the rewards of growth flow disproportionately to top earners, while many others face pressure, insecurity, or declining bargaining power. By foregrounding this imbalance, Shell places work inside a larger political economy rather than treating employment as a purely personal matter. The argument also helps explain why debates about jobs cannot be reduced to motivation or skill building alone. If the structure of the economy channels gains upward, then policy, institutions, and labor standards become essential parts of any serious discussion about the future of work. Thirdly, why hiring now tests personality and cultural fit. Shell pays close attention to the hiring process itself and shows how job selection often goes beyond technical qualifications. Employers increasingly look for signs of cultural fit, enthusiasm, and the right rhetorical style, which means candidates are expected to present themselves in ways that align with organizational expectations. This can turn hiring into a performance, where people must signal passion and adaptability as much as competence. The book treats this as a revealing feature of the modern labor market because it shifts power toward employers and away from applicants. It also creates a situation in which workers must carefully manage identity during interviews, often tailoring their language and demeanor to what they think managers want to hear. Shell's analysis matters because it shows how hiring practices can reproduce inequality even before someone is employed. A candidate may be rejected not for lacking skills, but for failing to match an unwritten social code. That makes the job search itself a site of anxiety, judgment, and identity negotiation. Fourthly, the dangers of overwork and the cult of passion. Another important theme is the rise of overwork culture and the way passion is often used to justify it. Shell is skeptical of the modern idea that loving your work should mean accepting long hours, blurred boundaries, and constant availability. She shows how this ideal can become harmful when employers and workers alike treat dedication as a moral test. In that environment, exhaustion may be normalized, and people may feel guilty for wanting limits, balance, or basic protections. The book links this culture to health risks and to a broader erosion of sustainable work habits. Shell also questions whether passion is always good career advice, especially when it is used to make precarious work seem meaningful enough to accept. Her analysis is important because it separates genuine engagement from exploitative expectations. Work can be fulfilling without requiring self-sacrifice at every moment, and a healthier labor culture would recognize that distinction instead of celebrating burnout as commitment. Lastly, alternative forms of work and the search for a better future. Although the book is critical of current labor conditions, it is not purely pessimistic. Shell looks for examples that suggest work can be organized differently, including small manufacturers, co-working environments, and non-traditional worker organizations. These cases matter because they show that the future of work does not have to be limited to old corporate or industrial models. Shell is interested in forms of labor that restore dignity, skill, autonomy, and mutual support. She also considers how digital tools and global networks may reshape work in ways that create new possibilities as well as new problems. Rather than proposing a single blueprint, the book encourages readers to think about work as a social institution that can be redesigned. This makes the final sections especially useful for policymakers, managers, and readers who want a broader framework than standard career advice. The book's future-oriented value lies in its willingness to connect critique with experimentation, even when the path forward remains uncertain. In conclusion, The Job is best suited for readers who want a serious, well-researched account of why work has become such a source of stress, identity pressure, and inequality in modern life. Policymakers, managers, workers facing career uncertainty, students of labor issues, and general readers interested in the future of employment will all find it useful. Its main benefit is that it treats work as a social and political institution, not just an individual achievement story. That gives the book more depth than conventional career books, which often focus on personal optimization, and more immediacy than abstract economic analysis. Because Shell keeps returning to the human consequences of labor market change, what distinguishes it from many books about work is its combination of journalism, structural analysis, and moral seriousness. It does not promise easy fixes or simple productivity tips. Instead, it explains how hiring norms, wage stagnation, overwork culture, and outdated ideas about merit shape daily life. Readers who want to understand why the future of work is about institutions, dignity, and shared prosperity will find this book especially valuable. If you would like to support Ellen Ruppel Shell, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.